you know, we are healed, or we are this, or we are that. Things go well. It's easy for us to be grateful. But what about the things that we don't recognize as good things? Sometimes those things are hard for us to be grateful for. But God says that we're to have a grateful spirit all the time. You know, this morning our bathroom overflowed right in the middle of Sunday school. And that's one of those things that you wonder, well, why should we be grateful for that? But God says that everything works together for good to them that love the Lord, to those who are the called according to his purpose. This morning we want to look at that. Stand with me if you will. In honor of God's word, 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Let's pray. Father, as we look at this passage of scripture, Lord, may our hearts be made grateful for everything. Lord, help us to understand the attitude of gratitude, that you are our all in all, that there is nothing that comes into our life except something that you're using to fashion us into the image of Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would search my heart, remove anything that would hinder the working of the Holy Spirit through me, and use me as your instrument. Open our understanding. Teach us your truth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now I want you to see the scope that God sets out here for our gratefulness, what we're to be grateful for. He says that in everything, give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. So in everything means everything. That's all it means. It doesn't mean just the things that we see as blessings, but everything that happens in our life, God says that we are to be grateful for those. We have a promise in Romans 8:28, and we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. Now, working together doesn't always mean that everything works out for every individual just the way they want it. God is working everything together for his purpose. And his purpose may not be exactly what your purpose is. And the reason that we feel ungrateful for some things that happen is because we have a different goal on this particular thing than God does. God is working in our lives. The one thing we can all agree on is that we all as Christians want to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. Amen? That's our goal. Well, that's God's goal for you. We don't know how to fix that problem, do we? There's a lot of things in our life that would have to change if we're going to be exactly in the image of Jesus. And so the things that God brings about in our life are to mold us and to shape us into the image of Jesus. The more that we can be grateful in everything that happens, knowing that Jesus is working his will to mold us into the image of Christ, the more benefit we get from that molding. If we resist it, and if we are angry over what God is doing, and if we don't have the right attitude, then we just have to go through it again and again and again. But if we can understand that everything that comes into our life, God is using to mold us into the image of his Son, then we can get the benefit of what he's doing. We have the purpose laid out for us here in Ephesians 5, 24 through 27. Now this, we use this a lot in the marriage sense, but it's also what God is doing in our lives to bring about this transformation. Listen to what he says. The purpose is, therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Now listen, verse 26 and 27. that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. You see, the purpose for all that you go through is to transform you into the image of Jesus Christ. And I'm glad that Jesus is doing that work in my life and in your life. See, we can rejoice and we can have gratitude toward that end, because we have the promise that it's going to work out for good according to God's purpose. And we know what God's purpose is. The reason that God has stated this purpose is so we can always fall back on this. No matter what comes into our life, God is in control and he is working it out so that we become more like Jesus as we submit to his will in our life. The price that had to be paid for our redemption is a reason that the scope of all that we are to be grateful for is cheap. We have reason to be grateful for everything. Listen to what he says here in 1 Peter 1:18-19. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. Now listen to what he's saying here. We have been redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. We are owned by God. So whatever God is doing in our lives, you know that we're precious to him. You know that he loves you more than you love yourself. He died to save you. And he shed his blood to take away your sins. And now he is working in your life to transform you into the image that he wants you to have. That's a good thing. Sometimes it is necessary for us to go through surgery to have something fixed in our body. Now, nobody would look forward to surgery. You know, the ideal of somebody sawing on you or cutting on you is not appealing. But if it solves the problem, then you can endure the pain to get the result that you need. It's the same thing with this transformation process. God did not save you to leave you like you were. He loves us enough that he'll save anybody no matter how wicked we are. But he loves us too much to leave us that way. And we all would like for God to just take his magic wand and touch us on the head and all of a sudden now we're perfect. That's not the way it works. God takes us through these trials. He takes us through good times and bad times. He takes us through difficult situations. He takes us through easy situations. And God says, be grateful for all of them, not just the good, because they're all what we need to transform us. And so whenever we understand that, the scope of our gratitude needs to be for everything that God allows in our life. In order to really wrap your mind around this, understand that God loves you more than you love yourself. God is too wise to make a mistake, and he's too good to be cruel. So whatever he allows, and he is in absolute control, folks. You sometimes think that, you know, that was just a dumb mistake on my part. But the one that keeps us from dumb mistakes is God. If God allows the dumb mistake, he uses that. And we can be grateful that God uses everything that happens in our life to bring about this transformation. And dependent upon what we need to have fixed, we have to understand some of the stuff is harder to fix than others. The deeper we get off into the world, the harder it is to drag us out of the world. That's the reason the best thing we can do is to live right in the center of God's will. Because whenever we go way off deep, we have to have more to fix us. For example, if somebody goes to the doctor and they've got a hangnail, that's easy to fix. But if they've got heart failure or cancer or something like that, that's harder to fix. So when we come to Jesus, if we have been, by the grace of God, kept from the really terrible sins, it's not as hard to make that transition. But if we have been off into sin, into the depths of sin, it becomes more and more difficult to be dragged out of that and to be turned in the right direction. Sometimes people give up because they struggle, because difficulties come, and hard times and disappointing times. People just say, well, I'm just going to give up. It's not going to work for me. But God never gives up. We need to be grateful that God never gives up. God will do whatever is necessary to transform us into his image. You remember what he told Jeremiah? He said, go down to the potter's house. Jeremiah said, I went to the potter's house. And the potter had a vessel that he was making on the wheel, and he was shaping it and stretching it and doing all that stuff to it. And the pot was marred. And so he smacked that thing down and started over. And he kept on doing that. And the Lord told him, he said, I am the potter. You're the clay. I am molding you and shaping you and making you into what I want you to be. I have power over the clay. Isn't that wonderful? When you think about it, our growth is dependent upon God. God knows what we need. And the more we can have the attitude of gratitude for everything that comes into our life, the more the working of the Lord will affect us and make us more and more and more the way we ought to be. But if we resist it, and if we harden ourselves against God, and we get bitter against God, it just messes the whole thing up. So God has to smack it down and start over again. Now, he's not above doing that. He'll start over and start over and start over as many times as you need it. But the best thing is to learn to be grateful for what God's doing in your life. Somebody says, I don't deserve what's going on in my life. You better thank God that you don't. Because if you got what you deserve, we'd all be in hell. God is working on us to make us suited for heaven. And it's a good thing. Because we're not suited for heaven in our flesh. God wants us to become something that will be greatly useful in his service. You say, well, how do I go about this? We have to surrender to it. We're not here to see who can have the most toys when we die. We're not here to be famous. We're not here to have everybody speak highly of us. We're here to be transformed into the image of Jesus Christ. That's it. We have to surrender to that. The more we resist that, the more we try to turn to self as Lord, the harder our life will become. And the more difficult it will be for God to fashion us. But if we present our bodies as a living sacrifice, we say, Lord, I don't even know what your purpose is. I'm just here to be transformed. Then we can learn to be grateful in everything he does. Listen to what he says here in the first part of 18. In everything, give thanks. Did you get that? In everything, give thanks. Not just tolerate. Not just going to tolerate what God is doing. I'm going to thank God for what he's doing. Because that's what I need. Listen to the last of that. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. This is God's will. Thank Him for that. Thank Him that you're important enough to Him for Him to work in your life. You say, well, how do I do that? It requires trust. You've got to be able to trust God. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will direct your paths. It is a thing of trust to go through every day. It seems like things are just happening. It seems like life brings us trouble. But understand, God's in control. And when the trouble comes, embrace the trouble. Understand God has this under control. God can fix it at any moment that He gets ready to fix it. He can take it away. He can bring it. So whenever we understand that, we can give thanks for everything that comes into our life if we trust the Lord with it. Testing is a good thing. Now I want you to see this. In the book of James, chapter 1, verse 2 through 4, the Lord says, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or testings. Count it all joy. He didn't say that we ought to be sad and these are the bad times. We have good times and these are the bad times, so you can just kind of feel bad during this time. No, He says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations. Knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. You've got to know that in order to count it joy. You've got to know that you can't go through a trial without it building patience in your life. You may have to go through a lot of trials to get enough patience for God to be satisfied, but every trial brings a certain amount of patience, depending on how we deal with it. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now understand what He's saying here in this last verse. Don't resist God. Go with it. He's saying, let patience have her perfect work. A lot of times when we're learning patience at the hand of God, it makes us angry. It makes us rebellious. It makes us want to strike out. But that's, then patience doesn't complete what it's there to do. You know what happens then? We just rewind, do it again. And we repeat that over, 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 till finally we learn this is a good thing. The good things that come into our life that are disguised as bad things are still good things. When we learn to thank God for them, then they will have their perfect work in our life, and we won't have to just keep going through it over and over and over and over. The truth is in John 15, 13. Listen to this. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man lay down his life for his friends. Understand what God is saying here. There is no greater love than what God has for you. There is no. He laid down His life for you. And someone who would lay down His life for us only wants our good. You believe that? God never wants to hurt you. Always to help. No matter what it looks like to us, God is always working good in our life. And He has never done anything to hurt anyone. It's always been for the good. And folks, there's safety in this. You don't have to worry about trusting God. You don't have to worry about having that attitude of gratitude with God, because God won't take advantage of it. He will work in your life to do good and not evil. Listen to what He says here in verse 18, the last part. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Understand the safety in that. God allows in our lives what we need. Sometimes it's good, as far as we consider it, and sometimes it's not. Sometimes it's painful, sometimes it's joyous. But this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you at this point in your development today. Whatever that is, it is God's love. Because God loves us more than we love ourselves. And He will use whatever He has to use to fix whatever He needs to fix. And it's a good thing. There's safety in that. The peace that we need is in trusting God with our development. Now think about that. All the things that seems like we ought to be worried about, all of the frustration that comes with life in general, we need to understand that there's safety in all those things with God. Paul wrote, I have been cast down, but not forsaken. You know what he means by that? To be cast down means that you're at the point where there is no way out except that God deliver you. But he says, but I wasn't forsaken. Most of us can identify with that. We've been in situations in our life that only God can get us out of. But then he gets us out of it. And through that process, we learn more and more about faith. We learn more and more about the safety we have in Christ. Nothing's going to come into our life except what God wills for us. And God's will for us is out of a heart of love. It's never to hurt us. It's always to help us. Even chastisement is to help us. Those of you who have raised children know that there are times when love requires that you spank your child. Bible says if you don't spank your child, you don't love your child. Love sometimes requires a firm hand. Now, God is our Heavenly Father. And there's times when we need a good whooping. And God will do that. But all that's for good. Just like you're spanking your children is a good thing. It's not a bad thing. You don't do it because you hate them. You do it because you love them. And you want them to do what's right. And that's the same thing with God. Isaiah 26:3 tells us about this peace. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Now listen to this. Whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You want to have peace in your life? Trust God. That's it. You say, wait a minute. What if things go wrong? They won't. They may go wrong to your perspective, to your point of view, but they're never going to go wrong according to God's perspective. God knows what he needs to do in your life, and he will do it, and he will work it out. And so we can trust him. And he says, he will keep you in perfect peace if your mind is stayed on him. That means anchored in him, because he trusts in God. That is a wonderful peace. There's safety there. You say, oh, but you don't know what's going on in my life. Yeah, but God does. All those things that are happening in your life right now are good things. They're just molding and shaping, rubbing off a rough edge here, there, and yonder, changing an attitude. Sometimes we need an attitude adjustment. Amen. And God's good at attitude adjustments. And whenever he begins to adjust our attitude, it sometimes causes friction. It sometimes causes us some pain. But the end result is good. Our provision is guaranteed by God. Did you know that? God gives us what we need. Not necessarily what we want, but what we need. Listen to Matthew 6:25-34. Therefore I say to you, Take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns. Yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are you not much better than they? And which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit to his stature? And why take you thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. In that little passage, he takes away every worry that we have as far as survival. He says, don't worry about your food. Don't worry about your clothing. Don't worry about anything. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. We seek the kingdom of God, the expanding of the kingdom of God, and his righteousness when we just submit to his will in our life. There's safety. We don't have to worry about what's going to happen. You say, well, what about planning for the future? You know, we've all heard that old saying, he that fails to plan, plans to fail. Well, if you take God out of that equation, that's exactly right. But you see, there is a God. And he is in control. He will take care of his own. Whatever he knows you need in the future, you will have. And whatever will hurt you, he will take away. I'd rather live in peace today, not worrying about tomorrow. And then when tomorrow comes, I'll let God worry about that too. You see, whenever we worry, we're borrowing tomorrow's trouble. And 90% of what we worry about never happens anyway. We just worry. But whenever it comes, God can deal with it. I was praying one time and I was thinking about, you know, when I get old, what do I do when I get old? And I was praying and Lord just spoke to my heart. You could just die. That works, you know. When you get old and it's time, you just die, going to heaven. God always has a solution. You notice that? He never, ever gets caught by surprise. God knows exactly what he's doing all the time. And he's working in our lives. And he's molding and he's shaping. I don't think there's any graduation from this school until we die. We're going to always be learning. We're going to be conforming. We're going to be on the wheel. And God is going to be molding us until the day that we die. The propitiation for our sins is a wonderful part of our safety. We have been set free from the condemnation of sin. We have been guaranteed a home in heaven. We have a wonderful place. Jesus said, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. We have a home prepared in heaven. This down here is training, folks. Don't put too much stock in life down here. We're getting ready for heaven. And so the things that we go through down here are preparing us for heaven. And God is the master designer. He's the one that's working it all out. You see, God has a plan. That's the reason he tells us, don't worry about the future. I've got this plan all worked out. See, God knows exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. And the day after that. And the day after that. And he says, you don't have to worry about that. I got that. And I'll tell you something else, folks. Worrying won't change God's mind. Worrying won't change your future. You may try to hedge against the future. God's going to lay out your future the way he wants it. God can change anything at any time he wants to change it. There is no hedge against the Lord. We belong to him. And I, for one, don't want a refund. I'm glad I belong to Jesus. I'm glad that Jesus is working in my life to bring about his will. Listen to this. 1 John 2, 1 and 2. My little children, these things write I unto you that you sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he is a propitiation for our sins, not for ours only, but for the sins of the whole world. You see, God has already dealt with our sins. And he is in the process of trying to cleanse us from the very desire for sin. And he's working in us to mold us so that our minds are like his mind. So that we have the mind of Christ. And it is his purpose to shape us and mold us every day of our life until it's time for us to go home, and then he'll take us home. When Jesus saves us, he already has our life laid out. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9 says, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his creation, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. God has our life all laid out. And so what we need to do is understand the program of God. God's program is not necessarily our program, but we can adopt his program and we can trust him. And whatever comes into our life, we can be grateful that God is using that to transform us. There's a lot of people who think that all this life is about is laying up treasures in the bank, more houses, more lands, more toys. I've often wondered, when I hear about people who have millions of dollars, what can you do with all that money? You can only eat so much. You can only wear one set of clothes at a time. You can only drive one car at a time. You almost have to start wasting to be able to spend more and more and more and more. But you know the sad part? Is they got to die too. And when they die, if they've never received Christ as Savior, they're going to go to hell throughout all eternity. The rich man in hell was an example to all those who are trying to live for this life here. Life's short, folks. You know, it may seem like a long time for, say, you live to be 100 years old. Seem like a long time. But how's that going to seem 180 billion years from now? No, that wasn't very much. 180 billion years from now, you're just getting started good in eternity. So we can go through whatever God wants to take us through this life to prepare us for the next life. We can give up whatever we need to give up in this life in order to be prepared for the next life. Because that's what God's all about. I'm thankful that Jesus saved me from my sins. And I'm thankful that it is His desire to set me free from the desire to sin, little by little, increment by increment. And sometimes the process is painful, but I'm thankful that He hasn't quit, that He's going to keep it up until He calls me home. If you're here this morning and you've never received Christ as your Savior, the Bible says Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Jesus died on the cross to satisfy the wrath of God on our behalf. And He paid the penalty for everybody, all the sins of the world, so that you can be saved if you want to be saved. If you put your trust in Jesus, believing that He died, and He was buried, and He rose from the dead, He'll save you by His grace. Let's stand and go to the Lord in prayer.